This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Clock hour here on a Thursday. Coming up in about 5-7 minutes or so, we will have Nate Taylor from The Athletic joining us in studio to get back into the Chiefs schedule, talk bigger picture NFL. Also, what is he hearing on the Trey Smith front? And of course, the impact that could have on a variety of future moves for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'll have to talk Brazil with Nate because I think there's a very good chance, Nate, he is a beat writer. There's a good chance he'll be covered. I think he was in Germany when they played the Dolphins a couple years ago, so my guess is he will be going to Brazil, or at least trying to go to Brazil, so we'll talk about that with him. Some of you on the text line have said you're making the trip to Brazil. I told you, like, out of all the international ones, I would prefer, like, Madrid or Germany or London before I would go to Sao Paulo, but more power to anybody that's going, though. That's pretty cool if you're able to pull that one off.
It'd be pretty cool, honestly. It would be pretty cool. Carrington, by the way, not kidding. Funniest timing ever. I went out there to get a piece of paper, and I saw him always like, hey, man, can you get your round of golf in? I wish I was kidding. I'm not kidding. Just the second I walked out there, I was like, okay, I mean, he's serious, man. He wants us to play. So tomorrow morning, Gold, you and I, let's go get our round in, okay?
Fine.
Me and you.
Yeah.
Before I leave, I've got to see what this is all about because I
we'll
won't be back.
We'll do it tomorrow. That works. We'll do
the
it tomorrow
three of JT, you're not feeling it.
Tomorrow at 9:15, we'll go play putt-putt. Downstairs.
He says it'll take like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So we'll go get our round in after we do our like pre-show meeting or whatever, and then we'll...
He did say it was a par two for every hole, so there you go.
Okay.
Okay. There was an email of the rules written, like do you think there's somebody willing to cheat on this?
I don't know. The prize is like minimal, so...
I mean, I saw somebody online post a score the other day, like somebody in like one of those like charity ones post like a 36, people will cheat on almost anything. So I'm just curious. Feels like it's not worth it. I'm just asking you if you think anyone will cheat. That's all.
Is that where they're all at right now? They're just playing putt-putt all afternoon, or what's going on?
I don't know. They might be doing other work out there.
I just happened to run into them in the hallway.
So what's that?
I saw some people out in the main lobby where the fridge is eating lunch because there was so much leftover walking tacos yesterday.
I don't feel like that holds up in a
while. How did that treat you? How did that walking taco treat you?
Yeah. I had it twice because when I came back for the Royals, I was like, I don't have to buy dinner. I can just have another round of walking tacos.
JT's walking around. He's amongst us. You're too worried. Don't worry about it. We'll talk with the schedule with Nate Taylor here in just a minute.
Yes.
But just real quick, a couple of other thoughts as we were kind of going into it. What is is there a game? Like, is there a standalone game or two for you, Gold, that's just like, yes, that's the one? That's the one that I am the most interested in,
for sure.
Based on timing, based on opponent. Because like you said, I'll be honest, some of the the Bills juice, that ain't the game for me anymore. It was at one time the game for me.
Yeah, there's one that stands out.
But that's not the one anymore.
It's weird. It is not the most important game on the schedule because it's an NFC game. So I'm not claiming it's more important than a divisional game. But from an intrigue, They don't play him very often, and this franchise hasn't been good very often. I also want to see this quarterback in person. The Commanders game, the Monday night Commanders game is what I'm really, really excited for at Arrowhead, because we saw what they did last year.
That'll depend on, like, that one's got a high risk of, like, not being as interesting
for
when
sure.
we get to it.
Yeah. Right now, that's one that I'm really interested in. I've seen the Chiefs play Baltimore a million times at this point. I've seen them play Buffalo a million times. Detroit would be the second one on the list. So honestly, the two NFC teams, because you don't play them as often, even though they played the Lions to open up the season 2 years ago. You just don't play them that often. And right now they're both good. So I would say Commanders is probably the game I'm most looking forward to. The divisional games are the divisional games. We all know those are impactful and those matter more. But yeah, Monday night, October 27th at Arrowhead.
I think it's probably the Lions one for me. Same thing. The schedule at home this year is incredible. And the Lions one comes with the same risk, Gold, admittedly, as the Commanders one does, because the absence of Ben Johnson and all these things we don't know. But I'm not getting up for another Ravens regular season game, Bills regular season game. And if they were later in the year, that might very well be my answer, right? It might still be my answer if it was Ravens December 7th, but it's none of those December games. Unless for some reason, the only other one that I could say that ends the conversation is if for some reason the Broncos or the Chargers decide to actually compete in this division this year, and that either December 14th or December 25th games turn into games that matter.
Sure.
Matter for the division, count for something significant, play largely into it. Then we're probably having a slightly different conversation, but it's probably that one. And it's...
Yeah, divisional games go without saying. Again, I'm not saying that the Commanders game is a more important game. I just, like, for my own intrigue, maybe we've been spoiled at this point in time that, you know, the Chiefs-Bills games, they've played so often, so it doesn't... The week of, when we get to Chiefs Bills, it'll by week 9, depending on how the team's playing, it'll be a big game. I'm not saying it's not. Just right this second, on May 15th, when I look at the schedule, which ones stand out in terms of excite me because they're different? Yeah, it's the Commanders and then the Lions.
I do like
Dallas on Thanksgiving. Like, we're all going to be locked in because it's going to be the most watched game of the year anyway. But
yeah, but they went to Buffalo in a playoff game and beat them. Am I supposed to, like?
Right.
Oh, I mean, I expect. I'll be honest. When we eventually, and this, like, wait, I mean, I guess we could do this tomorrow, our way too early prediction for the Chiefs.
Yeah, let's do it tomorrow.
For the Chiefs record, fine. We can make our official predictions later. Our way too early prediction of how many games we think the Chiefs win based on this. I'm going to count that Bills game in Buffalo as a loss.
Yeah.
The real question is, where will Buffalo be by the time they get to Kansas City? And the answer is, they'll probably have the best record in the sport. This is the Bills schedule before they face the Chiefs. The Jets, terrible team. Baltimore. That's a really good one. Open up the season. That could go either way. Then it's at the Jets, at home versus Miami. They're winning both of those games. At home versus the Saints. At home versus the Patriots. This is a joke.
Yeah, based on strength
at Atlanta, a bye, and then against Carolina. They're going to be a one loss, maybe? They might be undefeated by the time they face Kansas
City. They get the NFC South this year. The Chiefs got the NFC South last year. I think the Bills, strength of schedule-wise, not win totals, but strength of schedule-wise, they have the 8th easiest or 10th easiest schedule. Something like, they're in the top 10, I know that, of easiest schedule based off of last year's records, which is not always the best way to do it, but that's where it stands right now.
It's just, once we get into that kind of circumstance, it just seems so, I don't know, not frivolous, but like, you and I have said this before. You and I don't get, like, really worked up when they lose to the Bills or the Ravens anymore in the regular season. Because what happens is that it doesn't exactly feel like it means something in the end result of the season. So, like, it's just there. From the 913, someone said Ravens and Chiefs because it's their birthday. Good for you, Lance. I hope you get to go to the game, you know? Hope you get a chance to go there and enjoy and, I don't know, spend time with whoever. I don't know who's going, right? Are you going to any? Do you know any games you're going to already?
That's the thing, because
you're not usually a plan. You don't have you don't have like a pre-plan, I guess.
No, as far as games on the road or at Arrowhead, because games on the road, Nashville's the week before Christmas, so that road trip's kind of out. The Raiders game in Vegas is the last week of the season, so that's kind of out. So no, I don't. I would be shocked if I go to a road Chiefs game this year. As far as at Arrowhead, I mean, I'll go to a majority of them, but on the road, yeah. I know I'm not going to Dallas on Thanksgiving, and I know I'm not going to Nashville the week before Christmas.
No, not going to do
it. The only one that I looked at was Buffalo.
The friend group usually travel with. Did they even mention it yet?
No. November 2nd or whatever it is, the Buffalo game would be one. But Buffalo on November 2nd,
That could already be some nasty weather, potentially, November 2nd in Buffalo.
I know, but it could be okay.
I'll ask. I'm going on in Buffalo with our friend Mike Shope at WGR 550.
That's a great question.
At 3 o'clock.
To go on in Buffalo.
I'm
going to
ask him. I'm like, hey, man, this November 2nd one, is this the trip? Is this too late in the year to make the trip to Buffalo? It's the last year in their stadium, by the way. So if you're trying to go, you know, if you're big into like checking out stadiums, it's the last year of the old Bills Stadium, Highmark, and then they get the new stadium next year.
You mentioned the stadiums because that also adds to the intrigue. You might be more interested in going to a Buffalo game once they get the new digs. Do you think there'll be this rush? If the, let's say the stadium stuff is all still on hold. If you missed it earlier, the Missouri will need a special session in order to even discuss the funding for the potential stadium deals for any future team where they were trying to match the Starbond stuff. But let's say 3 months from now, Chiefs announced they're getting a new stadium, they're going to Kansas, this whole thing. And you know that the new stadium's going to start in 5 years. Do you think that that becomes a hotter ticket for fans either coming in from out of town and for Kansas Cityans to see one of the final games at Arrow? Will you want to be at the final game
absolutely.
At
yeah.
Arrowhead Stadium?
I think you'll feel the same way about Kauffman, whatever that day
is. I think
you know, I think
I want to be at the final game at Kauffman Stadium with the Royals playing.
That'll be those tickets for whenever that day is, the final game in either stadium. Yeah, absolutely. That'll be a more expensive ticket. People just want to say that they are there. Nate Taylor running a little late, so Cody, he's going to join us coming up closer to 1:20 or so. I think for sure. I'm sure Buffalo, same thing there. This year is the last year that they're in that stadium. There'll be people that want to say they watched Josh Allen play in that stadium and they watched him play in the new stadium.
I think it does become kind of this like, and I told you, I like sporting events sometimes that are in the oddity camp. Where like I'm more interested in going to a Rays game than I ever have because I'm like, well, I kind of want to see the Royals. Like had the timing worked out, I want to see him play in some weird AAA park, even though it's a major league game or those kinds of things. I'm just curious how that like changes the calculus once that, because I'll be honest, I still see people. We were talking about the stadiums earlier and we were saying, all right, new stadium talk. And then I think I had someone on social media be like, whatever keeps him at the K. And I'm like,
they're not staying. There's, at the K.
This is one thing that I really feel like needs to be emphasized for specifically the K, not Arrowhead, because there is still a possibility of a renovation there.
For sure.
The Royals are not going to keep playing at Kauffman. I can't tell you if that stadium's going to be downtown, in Clay County, in Kansas. They are done playing at Kauffman. They have made that abundantly clear. I think it makes sense to separate these stadiums, separate these price tags, push them into different years, different motions, different taxes, whatever. Because part of the problem we're running into is what we've talked about. It is streetcar at the time at the airport. At the same time, you need two stadiums. Not even one, man. You need two at the same time. Like, separating these things so that they run into different time frames actually kind of matters. But I want to make this clear for anybody who's like, I love Kauffman, and I hope they play there forever. The last day at Kauffman Stadium is sometime probably in the next 5 years. Maybe six, I don't know. Maybe you're just feeling like they extend their lease for a year or whatever. But like, there's an expiration date on how long the Royals choose to play there. I don't think it matters what any of this, the rest of this noise happening on the outside of it is. And I think you feel the exact same way.
Yeah, the Royals are not playing at Kauffman by when 2032, they're not there. Even maybe 2031. Like, that's been very clear from the beginning. But yeah, I think from a visiting ballparks, visiting stadiums, anything like that, there's definitely going to be people that that'll be more likely to go because it's the final year of any stadium, whether we're talking about here locally or in Buffalo.
I went to the second to last game ever at the Metrodome.
Did you?
I went to go watch Zach Greinke pitch his last start in his Cy Young award-winning year. So we drove out to Minnesota to watch him pitch. And it was the second to last or third to last. It was one of the final games ever in the Metrodome. It looked like it was ready to fall apart, but opening a door.
That's how people felt watching the Raiders and the A's play at, whatever the million names, O.co Coliseum, whatever it was called multiple times.
I just think at some point it just looks like they're just giving up on trying to keep it up. I do not feel the way about Kauffman and Arrowhead, which I'll give them a lot of credit for.
Yeah, to this point, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Arrowhead, they're actively putting in millions of dollars of renovations right now for the World Cup.
Yeah, they've taken out seats and then they're putting the seats back, but you're losing some seats. Someone put out a video yesterday of what the construction zone looks like at Arrowhead. It's all for the World Cup right now.
Man.
That's why there's no concerts at Arrowhead this summer, because they're working on the stadium.
So we missed out on all these big artists because...
All of them. I mean, they only had like three. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's always Kenny Chesney.
It's country concerts when it's 100 degrees outside.
Yeah.
Usually.
So that sounds like you're not interested in going to those.
Correct.
There's this thing
there's this thing that can happen in the future, and it's called a retractable roof that would allow you to have a bunch of sporting events no matter what the weather is. And it not only could be better in August for concerts, but it could also bring things called the Final Four to Kansas City. That's one thing that could happen.
Oh, man. Okay. I mean, look, I want a retractable roof. You know that. I just want them to actually... My biggest gripe is...
Oh, I'm with you on this part.
That roof better be open more often than it's not. Oh, extreme only.
Yeah.
Like, concert, fine, because you're trying to avoid
but
the elements.
For a Chiefs game, if they go the retractable roof route on a new stadium, yeah. If it's like... If it's basically, you know, 30... You know, most people... Some people would say 15 degrees, but let's just be realistic how they would think. If it is warmer than 20 degrees, that bad boy needs to be opened.
I 100% agree.
25 degrees. That thing needs to be opened.
It was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. Houston Astros were playing a playoff game in which first pitch was scheduled to be 71 degrees. They built a retractable roof, 71 degrees, and they're like, we're going to keep it closed. And
I'm
like,
in Houston, they never...
What?
Houston, the humidity is
bad.
Why
do they ever?
Houston,
next time, they'll know.
It's actually...
Just close it.
It's actually humid. I mean, the humidity in Houston's terrible, but they have the roof in Houston open like three weeks out of the year at Minute Maid Park. It's now called whatever the air conditioning company is down there. I can't remember the name. The Royals just played there last night, but whatever that stadium's called.
Anybody remember?
Starts with a D.
Man, I don't know. I stick to the original names that I remember and then never won.
And
still guaranteed great field.
And then the Texans, the NRG Stadium or Reliant, whatever the names are these days, that one, the roof was like broken for a while or something, so they didn't open.
Yeah, remember they tried to open it and some pieces fell out?
That was Dallas.
Oh, that was Dallas.
Yeah. But yes, in general, with retractable roof, it's more likely that it's closed. Yes, that is.
Sorry,
true.
I didn't mean to get us on a retractable roof stadium conversation. I was just realizing since we were talking about the way the stadium stuff is set up. And look, I'm still hoping we can play the sound later, maybe or tomorrow, but like, I'm still hoping that at some point Missouri will figure out a way to keep one of the two teams. I kind of like the idea of them being split now. I'm kind of leaning towards that, but I also want downtown baseball. So who knows?
Yeah. I mean, the mayor was on with Carrington yesterday. Mayor Q was on with CDOT and was asked, why does it seem like, you know, maybe you've had more conversations with the Royals than the Chiefs?
And I'll be straight up with you and everybody listening, right? I get a chance to talk to the Royals a lot because I think the Royals are looking to make a very, very large and new investment in a different spot in Kansas City. And what has kind of happened since the vote is the city of Kansas City has handled a lot of the negotiations with the Royals. We've worked closely with them. We're proud to work with them. I want the Royals here. I think it's an important municipal investment. I think it's the sort of thing that we all need to actually care about and invest in. And I think as it goes for the Chiefs, you know, that's something that is more of a Jackson County discussion. They're currently a tenant of the county. There are a lot of steps in connection with what they're looking to do. Hey, look, if I can solve both of them, I would in a second, but there's only so much money that we will have at the city level too. And so, you know, we're looking forward to having a way to try to get both of them done. But this bill in Missouri is a way that you get good investment with both without actually breaking the bank.
And, of course, that was was the mayor with CDOT prior to yesterday's news when the Senate adjourned for the 2025 legislative session. And so unless a special session is called, Missouri has no counterpunch in terms of the same financial mechanisms that Kansas has with these star bonds. Does that guarantee that both teams are gone? No, but it makes it way more likely. Way more likely if, in fact, the special session doesn't happen that leads to a passage, as we've got our guy Nate Taylor joining us in studio from The Athletic. What's going on, man? We can get to football, the schedule stuff in the next segment and everything, but you're now a father of two. Oh, you got the mics working? We have the...
Which one, JT?
I don't know. Help me out.
No, other one.
He's
JT.
Pressed all the buttons.
That's fine.
Oh, wait, hold on. Now we hear you, I think.
Hello?
Hey! There we go.
Live radio.
Hello, hometown.
Congratulations to the family. You sent us the photos. Everything looks beautiful. I looks great.
Thank you.
Family, you doing well?
Great. We're doing great. Other than...
are you sleeping?
Just pray for me in the hours of 2 to 6.
Ooh, we got the...
He cluster feeds. Mm-hmm. He loves being wide awake at 5 a.m. So please, mostly send your prayers for Holly, not so me. You know, I'm changing diapers. Like a NASCAR pit crew.
That age.
Yeah.
Kind of.
All day, every day. He's peed on me a few times, so we've already broken that seal. You know, my son Noah. So, yeah. And You know, I've asked Hayden, our 9-year-old, multiple times, hey, man, how you doing? Do you feel okay? He has slept through every night. No matter.
He's not even bothered?
Not bothered.
Dang,
not
a, no, I good
mean,
for my, him.
I mean, he's...
You got a white noise machine that's better than all of ours?
No. I mean, we use that, you know, but they're in separate rooms right now. But as of, you know, because obviously Noah's with us in our bedroom, but yeah, he's just sleeping through the night. It's great. I mean, he wakes up, bad. He's so happy, and we're just like zombies, like trying to get him to, you know, to the bus stop on time. So, nah, man, everything's good. It's just, you know, I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. Everybody who's had a newborn understands that feeling.
You book your trip to Brazil yet? Tell you.
I you know, I've talked to some season ticket holders who booked who asked me a couple days ago if they could book it, and I said, yeah, like this is as solid as it's gonna be.
It's a lock.
And I knew that back at the owners' meetings, even though it wasn't, you know, a done deal yet, but it was obviously progressing there, and you know, we reported in The Athletic. But I have not booked my trip yet, so.
Get that travel visa.
Some of this determines on, because it's the first game of the year, and I haven't, again, because I'm, you know, kind of in this weird predicament or this unusual circumstances, you know, on paternity leave with The Athletic right now. I haven't heard. I guess I got to call someone with the Chiefs. Like, what is the actual schedule? Because them flying for the first game of the season does give them a little bit more leeway.
Or it, when they get there.
Yes. And
body
obviously
adjustment, all that
right.
other stuff.
Okay. And you know obviously when you're flying back, of course. But like in Germany, they cut it in half, right? Some teams going overseas, whether it's Germany or London, they might go for the whole week. I think the Miami Dolphins did that 2 years ago. The Chiefs left on, I believe, a Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah. Then they practice.
That's an Andy Reid decision.
Yeah.
Too.
Right, of course.
He's trying
right.
to keep
like,
the schedules close to normal.
Yeah, so they flew on a Thursday, I believe. They landed, which is crazy, and then practiced like that Friday, did their international media obligations. You know, and obviously everybody, I assume, just slept all day Saturday, and then they played the game on Sunday. So the league will give them a little bit of flexibility as to if they want to practice in Brazil. I can't remember off the top of my head. And I haven't asked if either the Packers or the Eagles practiced in Brazil. Most teams want to do that, so that somewhat adjusts the travel schedule compared to like fans who might just show up, you know, the Wednesday to Friday or the Wednesday to Sunday if you want to stay over for the weekend.
Is it the NFL, the team? Who hates family time during the holidays?
Oh, it's Roger Goodell.
My goodness.
Yeah, it comes
Christmas,
down,
Thanksgiving, yeah, open the season.
It really comes down to one person, and I've tried to explain this. The person who has the most veto power, the person who you would, in this, you know, it's not a apples for apples comparison, but like, you know, in our government, it's like, hey, the, you know, we were just talking about this now in on the state side, but just like, hey, you have Congress, you have the House, you have the Senate, but if the president wants to veto or if he wants to make a choice, he can do that.
He or
she can do that. And Roger Goodell's like, I'm sorry, the Cowboys and the Chiefs. Hey, ring those finances up again. What's the projections? Yeah, I don't care anymore.
We might not get Mahomes on another Thanksgiving Day game, so let's lock it in.
Yep.
I thought that at the time.
Exactly. It's his first time as the starter in, you know, Jerry World, because he was a rookie back in 2017. The Chiefs have not played on Thanksgiving in a while, so it's not like you're recycling them in a sense. So, yeah, he has ultimate power in the schedule if there's a tiebreaker to be had. And so, you know, as I've reported, the Chiefs and the Chargers were both in favor of playing this game in Brazil.
I bet the Chargers were.
It's not a Chiefs home game.
I think it's easier for the Chargers to play.
Correct.
Than their own.
It's a great decision on their part.
And the Chiefs are comfortable with it because it's the first game of the year and because it's not one of their own home games. And they want to play I've reported this as well.
They want to play as many international
Clark
games
wants to play an international game every year moving forward if he was the, you know, president/commissioner of the NFL.
Well, I think you're going to Madrid next year then.
Lord willing. Lord willing. So I understand that, like, Christmas matters and Thanksgiving matters. And, man, this is a lot of primetime games. But they are the biggest draw in the NFL. There is no – every metric says that. They are obviously – you know, we're in the midst of their dynastic run. They're the only team to ever get this close to a three-peat in Super Bowl era history. So I just say blame Roger Goodell, because if Clark Hunt's not going to push back on it, which he's not for financial reasons,
yeah,
and he has a coach and a quarterback that he trusts to be capable of winning any game, no matter where you play it, when you play it, then yeah, Roger Goodell is the one that's like, well, great. If there's no pushback from the Chiefs, we're going to promote them as much as we possibly can.
Let's dive deeper into the schedule coming up on the other side here. We got Nate Taylor from The Athletic joining us. We'll ask him about the first 9 weeks, that big first 9 week stretch for the Chiefs, and what that means for the back half of the schedule as well. That's coming up right here on 96.5 The Fan. Back here on Cody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
In gold, we got Nate Taylor hanging out with us, of course, from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider. So let's dive a little bit deeper into the schedule. I think it's very obvious for anybody that's glanced at it, even for a few seconds. You can tell it looks front heavy, and it looks like on the back end, there's potentially some relief there. And look, the schedule in May looks differently than how it will look in October, and there's always surprises and injuries, and all of a sudden a game that looked tough and suddenly a starting quarterback is out for a game.
Yeah.
Of course. But right this second, that first nine games, man, Commanders and Bills and Lions and Ravens and Eagles, I'm not even talking about the Chargers and divisional, like, that's a hell of a first 9 weeks. But I like how the bye is not till week 10. I'll tell you that after all the discussion last year about the too early of a bye. Week 10 bye, you'll sign up for that just about every single year. What do you make of the front nine? Because we were saying, I know Chiefs fans freak out when you say 6-3, because like, wait, we only lost two games all last year. But if they were 6-3 or 7-2,
yeah,
would be pretty damn amazing.
Yeah, 7-2 seems optimistic and reasonable. Again, it's again, like you said, Alex, we have no idea who's going to get injured. You know, who's going to be, you know, maybe more inflated in terms of being, you know, projected on paper versus actually on the field. And I think, yeah, you could say, and look, I'll be reasonable. You could say, hey, they get a decent amount of preparation and rest going into their home opener. Would you love it that it's Philly? Not in particular, but hey, those guys will be motivated. It's in your home stadium. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'll give you a win. I don't know if I got to double check this in my brain, but I don't think the Chiefs have lost a home opener with Patrick Mahomes as their starter.
I don't think so.
Outside of Chris Jones being in the freaking suite.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
Yeah, Lions.
And Travis Kelce not being on the field. So, again, that's an unusual circumstance. But if, obviously, everybody's relatively healthy, if there's nothing crazy that happens, look, I think they can beat the Chargers, obviously, in Brazil. So I think they can start the season at least 3-0, because New York is awful.
You're not afraid of Russ? Stop no. three in his third year?
No.
Not usually a quarterback is going to strike fear into your heart.
No.
Is Dable still their coach?
Yes.
Oh, he still got the job.
Crazy.
How did Dable keep it?
One more year. This is it.
Yeah.
Half a year, maybe. Yeah. He's got to be the favorite to get fired.
He'll be the coach week three.
It's not great.
Yeah, that's fair.
I guess my two big concerns are going from, I know this sounds weird, but going from like Jacksonville, who again, I think they'll beat them, but it is a short turnaround-ish, even though it's a night game against the Detroit Lions, who are very, very good. Mm-hmm. Hey, primetime game against Washington. That could be an absolute shootout. It could be a great game. That takes a lot of energy, psychological, physical, mental, and then you got to quickly turn around and play the Buffalo Bills before your bye week, obviously the ninth game in a nine-game stretch. So if I had to pick right now with a 7-2 record in mind, I would say maybe Detroit, maybe Buffalo, where you concede some ground in the race for the number one seed to the Buffalo Bills because they would once again, similar to last year, hold the tiebreaker and you might have to chase them down versus last year they were chasing you down.
And Buffalo's schedule, I don't know if you've looked. You probably haven't
got I heard.
It's a joke.
I heard you guys driving up here and I was just like.
That might be 8-0, 9-0 by the time they take on Kansas City, whatever the record would be. That's kind of a soft schedule for a team that won in a division.
Yes.
And but their division is soft and they're facing the worst division in football. So.
Correct. The only game that concerns me is their home opener.
How about that?
The season opener against Baltimore.
Awesome.
Yeah, it'll be a great game. And of course, we all know. What happened last year in the divisional round. Mm-hmm. You know, poor Mark Andrews. But yeah, outside of that, they might be, you know, again, because they have their bye week a little bit earlier too. So theoretically, they'll be the fresher team. You know, they could be.
But they can fade late.
Holy smokes.
They could be undefeated before the Chiefs came. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, they could either be 6-1 or 7-0.
7-1, sorry.
Yeah. 6-1 or 7-0. I mean, my goodness. This is. They like Tampa Bay is kind of the hardest team left on their schedule after they play the Chiefs.
What happened to their schedule?
Crazy.
How did they get so
strong? It's
the division and it's the South.
They get the NFC
right,
South.
Because what I'm saying is, and I know some people might be listening right now, is like, well, don't they play Philly based on obviously divisional winners? And you're like, yes, that game might not matter in week 17.
True.
Guys, they may
True.
Either have the one seed wrapped up or they may have it very much in their, you know, control where all they got to do is beat the Jets on week 18, you know, whatever to get the one seed. So yeah, they could. I mean, again, we're looking at these things on paper.
Looks like a 14-win team on paper
easily if they take care of business, stay healthy, and whether or not they care about the Philly game on December 28th. Because before Philly, it's Baltimore, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, and I can't see anybody else sniffing them unless. I mean, there's a chance because there's a little bit less of a turmoil issue on the offensive side of the locker room, even though there's turmoil on the defensive side of the locker room. Maybe Cincinnati pushes them on December 7th. But I don't see anybody else really touching them.
With them in Cincinnati, so this is what's interesting about Buffalo, and I give them a lot of credit for this. Normally, this is about the time with a team like Buffalo to be like, okay, it's midnight. Clock turns over for every team in the NFL. I don't
Correct.
Put Kansas City in that category because they are clearly the complete opposite of that rule. Even teams as good as Buffalo tend to have a down year somewhere in there.
Mm.
But the problem is that Buffalo, I would probably view differently if they didn't just lose to the Chiefs in the playoffs every year.
Correct.
And of all the AFC divisions, they're in a joke.
Right.
The Jets are going to start Justin Fields. Miami, if Tua is healthy, are a bit of a challenge, but typically they're at probably at the end of their magical rope. McDaniel will be another coach that we mentioned who could be on the chopping,
on the hot seat heading
who
in
could be in the chopping block. Bit. It's hard to predict Buffalo to have like a down year when they're just when they're in the East. Like until the East is going to offer up a little bit of a challenge, yes. It's kind of hard to take.
Unless you think that, unless you think with Vrabel,
Mac Jones has got it.
Drake May. If it was Mac Jones, they'd be screwed. Yes, this is true. Yeah, they would be. They would be.
Well, it's going to take. It's going to take Vrabel time.
Sure.
So
no
that, that's why the window is still, I think, relatively nice for them. Maybe I'd say we're at the 11:30 hour. Then maybe right at midnight. But yeah, Josh Allen is in his prime, and the one thing about the Chiefs. Because they took Mahomes slightly earlier is they've always been earlier to the curve as to when to reload, as to when to, hey, you know, trade away Tyreek Hill to get younger before the Bills get younger, right? So the Bills are in a cycle that's just behind the Chiefs cycle. But, I mean, the guy's 28. You know, he'll be 29 when the season starts. But, like, he's 29. He's the MVP, which, you know, I went back and forth on. I still think Lamar technically had a better season.
I do, too, but it's close.
But it's fine. You know, it's a worthy MVP. And like I said, like they could have home field advantage, which is so – which is such a heavy strength for you when you do not have to play – a necessary playoff game that is mostly meaningless when you're playing the seventh seed as the two seed. So again, I like James Cook. Like he's very good. We'll see what happens with Keon Coleman. Their offensive line is awesome. And they still got quality players on defense, even though, you know, that's how the football sort of broke down towards the end of the year. It's still Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, just
roll the
dice and see what happens, in my opinion. And for as much as Baltimore has been consistent in the regular season, it's at least nice to know that Baltimore realizes now, hey, it might be nice if we had skill position players, like, you know, good ones. They're starting to realize that.
Who knew?
For Lamar Jackson. But that might take another year or two to get fully right for a true run.
The other thing, Nate, I think everybody does when they look at the schedule. Now, last year they only lost two games, so this really didn't apply. But typically, like, all right, what's that game that, you know, that random one you can't explain that they're going to drop? When you look at the schedule, I don't think any of them the first half you could even claim falls in that category.
It'd be like a Raiders game against Geno or something.
On the back half of the schedule, is there a game where, like, man, I know right now you look at it and you're like, look out. This one is going to be the one where we're like, everybody's ticked off because you're like, how the heck did they lose this game? Is there one that stands out to you?
Of course there's one that
stands out to me.
Now, look, you're going to come off the bye week, and I imagine Andy Reid is going to stitch a clown suit on Sean Payton for what the Broncos did last
week 11.
Year. Because we all remember last year, hey, they went to the Broncos. They said, hey, we're going to let y'all in the playoffs. Can y'all play nice? And the Broncos are like, no.
Yeah.
We're tired of losing to you people. So I imagine coming off a bye week, divisional game of importance, the Chiefs will win that game.
Oh, you're going to go there again? You're going to go with this
team again?
Of course
I'm going to go there again.
Okay.
So we all understand how the trap game works.
Uh-huh.
You come into one game super focused, super rested, highly motivated.
Right,
hey, put the Broncos back in their place.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as you touch down home in Kansas City, everybody going to be talking about, dang, I can't wait for Thanksgiving against the Cowboys.
Noon game against Indy.
So the Colts on November 23rd.
Every player's going to have to tell their grandma, their aunt, their cousin, their family member, their friend, bro, we do not play the Cowboys yet. We got to play the Colts.
Got
to play the Colts.
So
Daniel Jones is going to come.
I'm just saying, if you want chaos and explain to me how they had three turnovers in this game and explain to me how they weren't focused.
Someone had a couple of fumbles.
Oh my God. It's, you know, on red zone, it's 2:30 and could you believe it? The Colts are up 17-7, you know, just because you know, weird stuff happens. Like, these guys are professionals.
So that's
too.
The Panthers game. You still think the Chiefs win, maybe, but it's going to be just, you know.
It could be a little bit more like, you're like, no one's happy.
The Panthers game last year, man.
No one was happy. No yeah. one, you know.
No, that was like, that was the worst win of the year. Yes. Where you're just like, yes.
Like, no I one's happy. Want
it. I'd almost feel better if, like, you had to, like, learn a lesson and take a loss is how it felt after that Panthers one. Like,
so because
you're getting away with it.
Because, again, it's a quick turnaround mm-hmm. going from Sunday to, obviously, Thanksgiving, you know, the one of the biggest stages in the regular season that you could ever have. Hey, then you get extra rest. You get to play another team in Houston that, hey, could be leading their division by that point. So, hey, you'll be focused on that. Obviously, home game against the Chargers, you'll be focused. Guys, I cannot explain to you how bad Tennessee is. I cannot, like, you cannot lose to them. So if I had to pick an AFC South opponent to be a little bit down on that could maybe jump up and bite you, I would take Indy over Tennessee.
Yeah, the final 3 weeks at Tennessee, that's Christmas night against Denver.
Get healthy, boys.
And then the Raiders. Hopefully week 18 doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
maybe right. that Broncos game matters for seeding. Hopefully it doesn't really matter for the division. They already right. had that wrapped up.
But. Correct. Yeah.
Do you agree with this? So, like, not just the Kelce jam part, but the losing the weight, the way he's talking to New Heights. I'm convinced Kelce is, like, doing everything to gear up for the last ride.
This is it, baby.
I feel like he's like, I'm not even doing my party this summer.
This is it.
I'm getting in shape. Yep. I'm doing the work.
Yep.
Whatever it takes. It feels like he's doing everything for, yeah, like, and Kelce's last ride.
And Taylor's been very supportive. I cannot.
She understands what hard work
yes,
looks like.
Yes, I cannot stress that enough. Taylor's been very supportive. Everybody knows. You know, how much the world tour was so fun and exciting and exhilarating for both of them. But that was unusual compared to any other offseason that Travis had. Now they were back-to-back champions. So, hey, live it up. I don't care.
Yeah. It didn't stop you from getting to the Super Bowl.
Right. He was still very good for his age, considering the burden that was put on him because of all the injuries at the wide receiver position last year. So, this is it, man. Like, the Chiefs understand that. It would be surprising to them, I think, if, let's say the season goes perfectly. Let's say that he rides off into the sunset. They win the Super Bowl. Hey, 3 out of 4.
He'll just leave.
You know, who does that? I think the Chiefs would be shocked if he was like, coming off the parade bus and like, so when are we going to start talking contract negotiations? They'd be like, huh? What?
Whoa. We gave Noah Gray some of that money.
Right. They didn't. And we talked about this right after the Super Bowl in New Orleans. Like, they didn't change anything in his contract. They knew exactly when the money was going
to. Yeah, they paid him the full amount.
They knew exactly when the money was going to lock in. This is it. Like, yeah.
I think this is a swan song.
This, you know, and it should be because when you're this good in a violent sport where they beat on your body constantly, where your skills can deteriorate rather quickly. This is about as good as you can get. And, you know, this goes back to the brotherhood and the relationship that he has with Patrick and understanding what Patrick wants, knowing that the team is in a transition with, you know, at least you have, if everyone stays healthy, theoretically two players that you could hand it off to mm-hmm. in Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice. Now we'll see how Rashee comes from the rehab. It looks good so far, you know, but we'll see, you know, when we get to like that midway point of the first part of the season, when he's a year, you know, removed from when the injury occurred in September. This seems about right. And he also has a clear sign in his brother too, of like what retirement looks like, how hard it was on Jason, but it's also been super duper profitable, exciting. His, you know, Jason's brand platform, it's only grown.
Kylie's brand has grown. She's exactly. got a massively popular podcast.
So you don't have to like hang on the way like Antonio Gates hanged on.
Yeah.
And I've thought about that a ton because Travis talks to Tony Gonzalez a lot. He talks to Antonio Gates a lot, and he understands how both of those guys ended their careers. And he's in a slightly better place situation compared to those two. And again, you don't want to go through this where your skills deteriorate so bad, or you have some injury that, you know, you couldn't have foreseen because you held on too long.
Chooses for you.
Yes.
Now that the schedule's out, we got mini camp in a couple weeks and then a gap before training camp. Are we about a month away from the Trey Smith thing becoming a real, real conversation if it hasn't happened by then?
Yes.
Wait, you are. You sound worried.
Yes.
I thought July 1st would be the like I'm officially worried. Yes.
No. If now, let me be clear, ladies and gentlemen. These are voluntary practices. Ain't no way in hell I'm letting my client step foot on the campus. Okay.
To kick it with like.
No.
80 dudes who aren't even going to make the roster.
Nah. I'm okay. Nah. So the first checkpoint comes about a little bit of a month from now at mandatory minicamp. Now, you can quote unquote be fined. You can quote unquote be like, hey, this creates a little bit of friction because, hey, like, this is when everybody's supposed to get in. This is what we're going to work on when we get to training camp in a month. Hey, man, just come out and hang out with us.
You don't have to get a sweat.
But again, if I am advising Trey Smith and if you are wanting to maximize your leverage, you ain't stepping foot in Kansas City. And so it gets a little dicey about a month from now because I don't anticipate, based on how most of these things go, why you would show up. You're on the franchise tag. You signed it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've put a little bit of the ball in the Chiefs' court. You understand that you have a deadline, which is July 15th. So we don't even have to talk until Cody's point, July 1st. You know, so both sides want to get this done. I don't think that there's any animosity on both sides because what we just saw in Cincinnati a couple days ago was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
They let that man stand in front of a podium and trash his coach and the organization.
What are they doing?
That's Cincinnati, man.
What are they
doing? They're one of the worst run teams in the league and have been for a long time.
What are they doing?
They're a 9-win team this
year. What are they doing? So nothing like that's going to happen. But, hey, this is simple negotiation. Hey, how much leverage do I have? How much do I have to maximize? You gave me the franchise tag. I signed it. We starting there, baby. And if I'm the Chiefs, I'm really pushing on a 5-year deal. And if I'm Trey Smith and his representation, whoa. I want to bite at the apple with the first year.
Yep.
I want to get to that fourth year, maybe that third year, and I get another shot at free agency. So I would say, yes, July 1st makes a lot of sense for people to be like, ugh, but I still think it gets done.
All right. We'll check in with you in a couple weeks or closer to that as well. Nate, appreciate you coming in studio, man.
Of course.
Especially while you're
thanks
on
for getting
your
me out of the house.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just giving you a quick diaper break.
Yep. We're back at it tomorrow, 10 to 2. The Drive with C-Dot and Rob coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.